Good morning. It is good to be here with you this morning. It's wonderful to be together as a family to praise God and worship Him and to just interact and to fellowship with one another. And it's an awesome thing to be here today. If you have your Bible, go ahead and open up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look together this morning at the text that was read just a few moments ago by Link. How many of you have ever inherited anything? Has anyone here ever inherited anything? You know, if anyone in your family or friend or something has passed away or given something to you, maybe not even passed away, but handed something down to you, has given you something like that, inheritance of some sort and kind, it's a good thing. It makes you feel good, doesn't it? That someone thinks enough of you or thought enough of you to put something in their will or to give something to you. I have a few things. My uncle passed away and he left me a belt. Doesn't sound like much, but he had it made some years ago. And it was handmade and it was beadwork on it and it says Arpoka, which is kind of special to me. It's my name, but it was his as well. And I believe it was a Navajo Indian that made it for him. And I've gotten that. And I also have a shotgun that was my grandfather's. He bought it new in 1928. And my dad got it, and my dad gave it to me. And I have it. I don't shoot it much. I could, but I don't. But I enjoy that. I look at it, and I think, that's something that's special to me. It's not worth a lot of money. Not worth a whole lot, really. But it's something that's special. I'm thinking about the whole idea of inheritance. And if we were able to, or if you were able today, to choose somebody, anyone in the world, that you would have the right to be an heir of, who would that be? Now, in this country, a lot of people would come up with some names pretty quickly. There's one man that always his name comes up all the time, Bill Gates. Now, why would we want to be an heir of Bill Gates? Because Bill Gates has lots and lots and lots of money. He is a very powerful man, financially speaking. There are a lot of people in this world that are very, very wealthy. I was watching a show some years ago, or a few years back, about a young man, or a man from Japan, and he was one of the top 10 wealthiest people in the world. Now, I don't remember how many billions of dollars he had, but they were showing him. He came over to the United States, and he was going on a shopping spree. And he went into a store, and he wanted some suits made. And they measured him, and he said, okay, I want one of every kind of fabric that you have. And I want these shoes, and I want so many pairs of these shoes, and I want so many of each one of these ties, and all these silk shirts that you have, they were showing on the screen, they were showing how much money he was spending. Ching, 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 it was just ringing up. 10,000, 20,000, 50,000, 100,000 on clothes. Now, I don't know the last time that you went and spent $100,000 or $200,000 in a single day on clothing. I haven't done it lately. Maybe you have. But I'm watching this guy and all the things that he's spending, and there was something really interesting on the other side of the screen. There was another thing over here going, and it's saying what this number is how much money his money is making right now. All of his investments. And although he's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on clothing, his money was growing more rapidly than he could spend it. Now, how would you like to earn enough interest on your investments that you could spend a couple hundred thousand dollars a day and still not even touch your interest? That's a lot of money. Most of us don't think in those terms. I can't imagine having billions of dollars to do anything I wanted with. I can't even imagine $1 million. Well, maybe imagine it. But I think about inheritance, and I think about why we would choose certain people that we would, because it'd be beneficial to us. We could use those finances. We could use those things and buy things that we really wanted to buy. maybe a little bigger than we wanted or even thought of, but we could use those things. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now look closely what he says. "To obtain an inheritance, so that we may gain an inheritance. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and because of His great mercies caused us to be born again." And all of these things, so that, verse 4, he says, so that we might obtain an inheritance. It's, I don't know if you've ever thought about it. Wouldn't it be nice if all of a sudden you received something in the mail that said, you are an heir of so-and-so's estate? If you were, what would the first thing you'd be thinking about? I wonder what they left me. What am I going to get? What a nice person that they would leave something to me. Now, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a beat-up old bicycle. Maybe it's millions. I don't know what it is, but we'd start thinking immediately, what is my inheritance? What am I going to get? And he says, God did this so that we might obtain an inheritance. Now, we want to look this morning at this verse, verse 4. There are four things he says about it, our inheritance in this verse that I think is really, it's an awesome thing as a child of God to look at this and to realize God says, here's something about your inheritance. Now, He doesn't say, I'm going to give you millions and millions of dollars. He doesn't say anything like that. He doesn't say, I'm going to give you all kinds of vehicles. I'm not going to give you a big house. He doesn't say any of those things, but He talks about our inheritance. He's already told us that we are going to be His heirs because of Jesus Christ, because He was raised from the dead. And now He says, so that we might obtain an inheritance. Four things that He talks about our inheritance. Let's look at them together. The first one He says, so that we might obtain an inheritance which is imperishable. It will not go away. Imperishable. When we think of perishable things, what do you think of? I think of going to the grocery store and we buy fruits and vegetables and breads and those things and we call them perishable items. Why? Because shortly after we buy them, if we don't use them or eat them, what happens to them? They perish, right? They're no good anymore. They're wonderful, but they only last a short time. We say things in our society. Things are, if something is meant to last, we say it's set in stone, right? It's written in stone, or it's set in stone. And if you remember, I don't remember how long ago it's been a few months ago, but Chris was preaching and he was talking about kind of this idea, and he said, you know, stones aren't really here forever, are they? If we go to some of our museums, we'll find things, tablets, things that were written on stone, and they're in museums, and they're behind protective glass, and all these things. Why? Because they're perishing. Even stone perishes. Everything in this world perishes. Everything that's around us. I can remember some of the times of going and hiking in the mountains in Colorado, and one of my favorite places, I was hiking a couple of years or 3 years ago, I believe. We were up there and walking along, and the side of the mountain is falling off, and the rock inside the mountain is green. I don't know if you've ever seen green rock, and I don't mean moldy rock. It's green. It actually is green. Beautiful. But you look at the base of it, and all this mountain is falling apart, and the rocks are falling to the ground, and they're being crushed, and they're falling apart, and they're disintegrating. They're perishing. Everything in this world perishes. But He said, I'm giving you an inheritance that will never perish. When we gain things, people even give us an inheritance here. If they give us nice homes, maybe they'll be here 100 years or 500 years or maybe even 1,000 years. I don't know. But homes will perish as well. Vehicles will perish. Money will perish. He even said in verse 7, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable. Even gold is perishable. But he says, this inheritance of yours is imperishable. What I'm giving you will not be destroyed. Nothing can happen to your inheritance. It is forever. And I love that verse 7. Look at it again with me. He said, so that the proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. Our faith, he said, is the first part, I think, of this inheritance. We look at what God has given us and we look at what He's done, and He began this by saying that He raised our Lord Jesus Christ. He raised Him. Our faith is in Him. Here is something that's imperishable. Christ and what He's done for us will never go away. It's done one time forever. It is sealed by God. It is imperishable. What a wonderful thing to have confidence and absolute security in something that we hold dear. Our inheritance is sure. Our inheritance is imperishable. The gift that God has given us will never perish. Isn't that an awesome thought? The next thing he says in verse 4, not only is it imperishable, but it's undefiled. And you start thinking about this word defiled or undefiled, and you think about the first word that always came to my mind is pure. And when you get a bottle of water, what do you want? You want pure water, right? And there are labels on your water bottles or on juice bottles, and it says if this top, if you can't punch that little button and it makes that little clicking noise, if it doesn't do that, then what? Or actually, if it does click, it's already been, the seal's already been broken, and do not do what? Don't drink it. Why? Because it's been defiled, or there is a chance for it. If we buy a bottle of Tylenol or medication, and we look inside it, and it has this thing, and it says, if the seal has been broken, do not take this medication. Why? Because someone could have tampered with it and could have defiled it. Don't do it. Commercials on television, this soap is 99.99% pure. I don't know exactly what that means. It sounds good though, doesn't it? 99.99% pure soap. That's what I want. I don't want some soap that's got all kinds of things in it that we don't want. But you know, not all things in this world are pure. How many of you like chocolate candy bars? These were from our fall festival kind of thing. You want one? Anybody want one? Well, yeah, it's fresh out of a bag. We were eating it just a few days ago. Anybody else bought one? I know you do. Chocolate. How many people in here like candy? How many of you like chocolate? A lot of people do. Now, I don't want to gross you out, but our government says it's okay for chocolate to not be what? Pure. It's okay if you fix it and when it's completed and it's wrapped up in a package that they can cut into that and look in it, and it's all right if there is a certain percentage of contaminants in that chocolate. Like little crawly things on the ground. Why do we eat chocolate? Because we've been told it's okay. There are a certain amount of defilement that is okay and is acceptable, right? We can do things, we can accept things that aren't perfectly pure. It's not going to hurt you. We've eaten chocolate all our life and it hasn't hurt us, it hasn't killed us. So it must be okay. God says, this inheritance, not only is it imperishable, but it's undefiled. It's perfect. It's pure. There is nothing wrong with it. How many things in this life are pure? Man, we talk about the pure and driven snow, and we talk about all these things, and yet everything that we have a relationship or an association to, we find something about it that's impure, right? Just about everything that we can think of in this life, there's something that's impure. There's something that's defiled it. And we look at our own lives and there's things that have influenced us and we realize that we're not even pure. But he said, because of Jesus Christ, we've been made perfect. We've been made absolutely, perfectly cleansed, undefiled, and pure. We are accounted as righteous, not because of who we are, because it's clearly we can look in a mirror and see we're not perfect, but what God has done for us. The end of verse 7. After he talks about our faith being more precious than gold and that it had been tested by a fire, he says, then we may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not just a mass thing where God is saying, oh, y'all come on in and I hope everything is good. No, God loves each one of us individually and our inheritance is for me. He's looking at me and he's talking to me and he says, this is your inheritance. And he looks at each one of us as individuals and he says, we are going to be receive praise and glory and honor. This is part of our inheritance. Why? Because we're worth it? No, because Christ died for us and he did that for us. And God is giving us that inheritance because of what Christ accomplished on the cross. My inheritance, what an awesome thing. It's imperishable, it's undefiled. And then he says in verse 4, it will not fade away. Now think about some kind of gift or something you've gotten in your life, and maybe it's something really, really cool, and you really, really like it. Maybe someone gave you a car at some point. And I don't know what kind of car you would like, but if I could have any kind of car in the world, it'd be a Porsche 959. Pearl metallic. I know what kind of wheels I'd want on it and everything. Of course, they haven't made them in 20 years or more. But an absolutely gorgeous car. I don't know. If I had it for a year or two, I might get bored with it. And I might look at a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or something else and say, boy, now those cars, maybe those would... And you see some things fading, some excitement maybe fading in some kind of gift that we have. And I don't know why it is with us, but so many times in our life, we want something new. We want something that we don't have. No matter how good what we have is, we have that tendency to want something additional or something new. You've heard that the saying that beauty is only skin deep, right? And there's a movie I was watching recently, and this lady, she's married to this very wealthy man, and she doesn't know what he does for a living. She thinks she does, but she doesn't. And he's a crook. And he does things against the law. And the FBI is after him and all these things. And a matter of fact, she finds out a little bit about this. And she talks to him and says, you know, the only thing I've done in my life is be pretty. And she said, I'm getting to the point where I'm not even that pretty anymore. But I can't live this way. I don't want all of this stuff. I don't want to be a bad person. And all these good things that she sees around her, she said, these aren't important. Those things aren't where it's at. But right here, and what I have here, this is important. And I don't want these things to fade. I don't want this to go away. I don't want to look at my life later on and look back and go, man, look at the things I chose to do and the person I chose to be. I don't want that in my life. Look at verse 8 with me. And though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. He's saying this inheritance is not going to fade, because when we look at our relationship with God and we see how He renews it with us all the time, and we look at this, and even though He's not with us physically where we can look at Him like we can someone else, we know that this relationship is always there. We know that He is always with us, and we find absolute enjoyment. We find comfort. We find all of these things every single day when we renew this relationship with Him. This inheritance is never going to fade, because God, there is nothing greater than He. There is nothing this world offers that's as good as a relationship with God. What an inheritance He's given us. What a beautiful picture as heirs of God that we have. The last thing that He says in verse 4... Not only is it imperishable, not only is it undefiled, not only will it not fade away, but it is reserved in heaven. Now, there's a lot of things that we reserve. There are a lot of things in our federal reserve, if you will. We have all this gold there that kind of gives us a security blanket in this country. It says this is our financial security. And if you have money in a bank, we know that the FDIC insures our money up to so much amount. And we take comfort in knowing that, you know, that those things, there's reserves out there for us that are going to guarantee those things that we've put on deposit. And if you are... if you're already retired, or you're looking forward to retirement one day, you want to know that there's some guarantees, right? That my retirement's going to be there when I'm ready to enjoy that retirement. And I want those things. And then we see certain companies that don't abide by the law, and they go bankrupt, and everything is lost, and all those employees for all those years have been putting aside and putting all this money and their confidence in this retirement, and it's all gone. Just like that. It happens. We don't like to think that could ever happen. It does. And we look at those things, and we realize that something being reserved is only as good as the one that's reserving it. He said, our inheritance is reserved in heaven. Our future. Is this world enough? Is what this world has to offer us enough? Or do you want more than that? I want a lot more than this world has to offer. There are a lot of things in this world I wouldn't mind having, but I don't want those. The thing I want the most, this world can't offer. But God has offered each one of us. This inheritance is guaranteed by God Himself. It is reserved in heaven for us. Verse 9, He says, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Our inheritance is eternal. What God has given us is the absolute assurance that we will spend all eternity with Him. Not because of what we've done again, but because of what Christ did for us. Because of His willingness to be separated from God, to fulfill the laws of man, to be hung on a cross, to be buried, to die, to be buried, and then ultimately to be resurrected again. And He stands at the right hand of God right now, making intercession for you and for me. And He will for all eternity. Our inheritance. Our inheritance is sure. Because God has offered it. Here's the last thing, and we'll close this morning. Look back at verse 4 one more time. He says, He did these things, verse 3, so that we may obtain an inheritance, verse 4, which is imperishable, undefiled, will never fade, is reserved in heaven. But look at the last thing that He says in that verse. For you. This isn't for someone else. This isn't for the world. This is for you. This is a personal thing. This inheritance isn't for someone else, but it's for you. God is offering that inheritance to you It's a personal thing. That's the most exciting part of this passage to me, is this inheritance is mine. This inheritance can be yours as well. I don't know, maybe it already is. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you have been immersed into Christ and you have all the blessings, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 1:3. All spiritual blessings are in Jesus Christ. Maybe you have those. Maybe you have this inheritance already in your life. What an awesome thing. I hope you praise God every day for that inheritance, so that you will never lose sight of what He's done for you. But the question still remains, if you are not a child of God this morning, are you ready to accept the inheritance that He has for you? Are you ready to accept this perfect inheritance that's never going to perish or fade, that's reserved in heaven? Are you ready to accept the inheritance He has for you? You can do it this morning. It's pretty easy. There's nothing, we don't have to do any great thing. God has given it to us. He said, you just have to accept it. Are you ready to accept it this morning? If you name Christ as Lord and Master of your life, you can be immersed into Him and you can receive all the blessings, the inheritance that God has in store for you. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning to accept His inheritance for you, you can do that right now while we stand and we sing together.